Council to Ministers, 1868. The first part of this manuscript is missing, but printed in Testimonies for the Church, 2, 498-505. You are required to exemplify the truth in your life. Men who think that they have a work to do to teach others the truth are not converted, sanctified by the truth themselves. They have erroneous ideas of what constitutes a Christian and the means through which a firm religious experience is obtained. Much less do they understand the qualifications God requires His ministers to possess. These men are unsanctified. They have occasionally a flight of feeling which gives them the impression that they are indeed children of God. Depending thus upon impressions is one of the special deceptions of Satan. For those who are thus exercised make their religion a matter of circumstance. The firm principle is wanting. None are living Christians unless they have a daily experience in the things of God and daily practice self-denial, cheerfully bearing the cross and following Christ. Every living Christian will advance daily in the divine life. As he advances daily toward perfection, he experiences a conversion to God every day. And this conversion is not completed until perfection of Christian character is attained and a full preparation gained for the finishing touch of immortality. Religion is not merely an emotion, a feeling. It is a principle which is interwoven with all the daily duties and transactions of this life. Nothing will be entertained or business engaged in which will prevent the accompaniment of this principle. To retain pure and undefiled religion, it is necessary to be workers, persevering in effort. We must do something ourselves. None can do our work. None can work out our salvation with fear and trembling but ourselves. This is the very work the Lord has left for us to do. The ministers of Christ need a new anointing that they may the more clearly discern sacred things and have clear conceptions of the holy, blameless character they must form themselves in order to be ensamples to the flock. Nothing we can do of ourselves will bring us up to this high standard where God can accept us as His ambassadors. Only a firm reliance upon God and a strong and active faith will accomplish the work God requires to be wrought in us. God calls for working men. It is a continuance in well-doing that is forming characters for heaven, a decided perseverance in a course of righteousness, and daily disciplining the mind by religious exercises to love devotional and heavenly things, and to derive the greatest amount of happiness while thus exercised. We have it in our power to control the mind in these things if we make God our trust. Through continued exercise, the mind will become strong to battle with internal foes and to subdue self until there is a transformation of the mind. The passions, appetites, and will are brought into thorough and perfect subjection. Then there will be a daily piety at home. When engaged in labor for souls, there will be a power which will attend the efforts that are made. There will be with the devoted, humble Christian seasons of sweet, peaceful happiness which are not spasmodic, fitful, or superstitious, but calm and tranquil, deep, constant, and earnest. The love of God, the practice of holiness, is pleasant when there is a perfect surrender to God. The reason why the ministers of Christ are no more successful in their labors is because they are not unselfishly devoted to the work. The interest of some is divided, and they are double-minded. The cares of this life engage the interest. They do not realize the sacred work of a minister. Such will complain of darkness, of great unbelief, of infidelity. The reason for this is, the men are not right with God. They do not see the importance of making a full and entire consecration to Him, They serve God a little, but themselves more. They pray but little, while the majesty of heaven, while engaged in his ministry, prayed much to his Father. He was frequently bowed all night in prayer. His spirits were often sorrowful as he felt the power of the darkness of this world. He sought retirement to make his intercessions. He often left the busy city and the noisy throng to seek a retired place for prayer. The Mount of Olives was the favorite resort of the Son of God for his devotions. Frequently, after the multitude had left him for the retirement of the night, he rested not, although he was weary with the labors of the day. In John, we read, "And every man went unto his own house. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives." John 7, verse 53, 8, 1.
While the city was hushed in silence, and the disciples had returned to their homes to obtain refreshment in sleep, Jesus slept not. His divine pleadings were ascending to his Father from the Mount of Olives for his disciples, that they might be kept from the evil influences they would daily encounter in the world, and thus his own soul might be strengthened and braced for the duties and trials of the day. All night, while his followers were sleeping, was their divine teacher praying. The dew and frost of night fell upon his head, bowed in prayer. His example is left for his followers. The majesty of heaven, while engaged in his earthly mission, was often in earnest prayer, conversing with the infinite. He did not always visit Olivet, for his disciples had learned his favorite retreat and often followed him. Therefore, he chose the stillness of night, for there would be no interruption. "If all would take this to heart," Jesus prayed. He could heal the sick and raise the dead. He was himself a source of blessing and strength. He commanded even the tempests, and they obeyed him. He was unsullied with corruption, a stranger to sin. Yet he prayed, and that often with strong crying and tears. He prayed for his disciples and for himself, thus identifying himself with our needs and our weaknesses, our failings which are so common with humanity. He was a mighty petitioner, possessing not the passions of our human fallen natures, but compassed with like infirmities, tempted in all points, even as we are. Jesus endured agony which required help and support from his Father. Christ is our example. The remainder is printed in Testimonies for the Church 2, 505 to 522.